Hey, it's Maggie. I can't get to my phone right now. You know what to do.
Dude, Maggie, I have something to tell you. You gotta call me back.
Sometimes it's comforting to know that you're not the only one experiencing whatever you're experiencing in life.
It's not fair for me to put that shame on myself when I was struggling.
We all deal with that shit. Like, I do, the next person does, somebody that weighs 50 pounds less than me does. You turn on the news and everything is devastating. And it's like, what? We need some positivity here.
I really wonder how much in gallons I've cried.
Hey, it's Maggie.
And Tia.
And this is
Call Your BFF.
Well, we decided to continue our mental health conversation a bit this month.
Yes.
Because I feel like we could talk all day about this.
I'm very passionate, so.
Very passionate about it.
Definitely could.
But I feel like we have, I don't know, a lot of like relatability to some of the stuff that we've gone through on small scale, big scale, stuff like that, that, I don't know, sometimes it's comforting to know that you're not the only one experiencing whatever you're experiencing in life.
Especially because I can feel really alone.
Yeah.
When we feel those big feelings because no one really posts about that stuff.
Right. And that's part of the awareness piece of mental health awareness is like, hey, guess what? You're not the only person dealing with that emotion or the only person dealing with whatever it is you may be dealing with.
Yeah.
So we figured we would go a little back and forth, have a few questions to ask ourselves.
The reflection. Ask ourselves.
We're reflecting together.
Yes.
It's our own therapy session.
Just free.
So, I guess to kick it off, have there been specific moments or experiences that have impacted your mental health journey? That's pretty broad, but...
It is so broad.
I think we did kind of touch on this in our previous Mental Health Awareness Month kind of kickoff episode, but I say my biggest one is definitely, like, in college, just, like, dealing with a friend and trying to figure out how to support a friend through a tough, like, mental health period, and at a point where it was more than my friend sad or my friend had a breakup and I, like, gotta bring the ice cream over because there's a big difference between that and, like, kind of, like, a mental health crisis. And I
think that's... There's a huge difference.
I don't know if that, like, impacted my own mental health journey, but, like, as I said, that really brought to fruition, like, what it really meant to me.
Yeah. When I reflect back on, like, my mental health in general, my mental health was probably the worst in college.
Oh, for sure.
Like, that was, like...
If you would have asked yourself, though, then...
I wouldn't have thought
I wouldn't have thought that at all.
No.
But now it's like, oh, no, I was not...
I was not
hanging
well.
On by a thread.
I was not well. Especially, like, senior year. I think that was the hardest year.
The thread was thin.
It was like a fishing line.
Yeah.
Ready to snap at any moment. But, like, when I think about that, a lot of, like, my mental health stuff, I think, stems from, like, sports. So I know, like, obviously not everyone can relate to that, but... When I think about college and sport, not only were we having pressure to figure out what are we doing for the rest of our life, I was also in the midst of, like, figuring out all my gastrointestinal stuff at that point.
Mm-hmm.
The first time ever having, like, health issues that extreme and not having the support and validation from my coaches about what was going on and pushed beyond my limits that I should have.
Mm-hmm.
And then having a career-ending injury and then having this, like, identity crisis of, like, who am I without a sport? So it was, like...
I mean, we could kick
sucker
this
punch,
episode
sucker
off.
Sucker punch, sucker punch, you know?
We could kick this episode off and just talk about that the rest of the time.
Everyone, make sure you set aside 5 hours for this episode.
That sure is definitely a big, big piece.
And again, like, in that moment, I did not think I was struggling. I was like, since I'm not doing a sport... I'm going to work 3 jobs and I'm going to go do everything and just feed up my time, but still go to every soccer practice, still go to every game and do everything I was doing, but just totally was ignoring the fact that, like, I didn't know what the heck I was doing or what I was feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I was not even in half the battle at that point. There was no awareness.
I think the sad part too is, like, looking back and seeing, like, knowing all the stuff that went on and, like, I can't even say that I would have been concerned about you at that point in time, too. Like, there might have been one or two times when it was like, are you okay? Like, you doing okay? And like, obviously, we all have that. But there was never like, oh, she's really struggling. Yeah. It was like...
Well, I was always laughing.
Well, yeah.
Which I still do.
We're kind of good at that.
We are very good at laughing. But I think that's also, that was my avoidance, though. I didn't let myself feel sad or like grieve the end of my career.
I was going to say, on the flip side, I think like we did always make the best of
every situation. And, we did. We still do.
We did have somewhat healthy coping mechanisms. For the most part, unhealthy. But I remember vividly times when we would go walk and we would walk 5 miles.
Oh, yeah.
And just be sitting out by a pond all day because that's what we needed. And
that
we
trail
just
was awesome.
Couldn't deal with whatever else was going on. And so instead of actually talking about it, we did talk about the whole walk.
Right.
So we had a good support system.
We did have a really good support system. But, so like when I think about it in the grand scheme, like even though that's when I was my unhealthiest mentally, I was still functioning, which I think is very Tia-esque, right?
Like, and very normal.
Yeah. And for so many people, right? Like, we have to perform. We have the work ethic. Like, I've always been like, you do everything. No, 110%, no matter what is in your tank. Like, you do it to the 110% of your abilities.
Yeah.
And when I think about that time, like, I did do it. And I did do it well. And I think even with my most recent, like, health stuff, I still did that the exact same way. Like, I still would go to work every day. I would still try my best with my friends and like try to reach out. And that's where I really fell. And that's where I was like, a lot of shame was for me of like, I couldn't do it all. But then as I reflect now, it's like, no wonder you couldn't do it all, Tia. You didn't have the energy. You weren't eating. You weren't able to take care of yourself because your body was so out of whack. Like it makes sense why I couldn't do everything. And it's not fair for me to put that shame on myself when I was struggling.
Yeah.
And like, I can repair friendships. I can repair like the parts of me that I didn't feel confident about because I can recognize that that was okay. Mm-hmm. I was doing my best and I'm also allowed to struggle.
Right. Which is good recognition.
That's taken a long time.
But yeah, like, kind of like what we were saying in the last episode of like, you kind of all started to figure that out within the past 4 years.
Literally. Yeah. That brain development time, man.
Yeah.
It really hits you on the face. And when I think about just, like, mental health, too, I like to reflect, too, that, like, we're supposed to have highs and lows, too. So, like, when I think about college, like, even though, like, my senior year was so low, I still think a lot more about the fun stuff that we did.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, that part. Like, I don't often equate my college years to my mental unwellness. Like, that's not normally the first thing I think about, but, like, it's definitely there.
It's definitely glaring.
Yeah. It's like rose-colored glasses, but like, I don't know what the opposite of rose color would be, because rose color's like nice.
I'm just glad that we made the best of it, because we did.
Yeah.
We had fun.
And that's all you can do.
That's all you can do.
Right. And just, I mean, a lot of sober fun, a lot of unsober fun. And that was like a really interesting flavor of life. And like you said in the last episode, not that I'm glad that it all happened, but like having that happened helped me get to where I am today.
Yeah. And just recognizing, like, behaviors of, like, why some of the things you do, even to this day, are there.
Yeah.
Which I think is big, but...
I don't even know what the question was
that
we started with.
That, I mean, that's kind of how this topic can be, I guess. You can just go off on a tangent. Have you ever struggled with self-esteem or self-worth in relation to your mental health struggles? And how do you work on building positive self-image?
I think I can speak for me and you. Yes. As women, it is so hard in our culture and everything. And I think my self-image was most impacted, like, when I had my health issues. Like, back in college and even present time.
Yeah.
Because with women, we tend to get comments about our weight fluctuations. This is something we were also talking about on our walk. We literally should have just recorded on our walk today. But I think that's one thing that Megan and I were really talking about that I've had to be so, for me, so self-aware about, because I have lost a lot of weight since having all of my gastrointestinal problems. And
But you fluctuated too.
I did.
Like when you started, it was like the gain, the loss, the gain, the loss.
Yes.
And like,
it was a roller coaster. And like, it all was because like my body wasn't healthy. And I had to like constantly remind myself, like, you are unhealthy right now. And I was getting a lot of praise of like, you look so good, Tia. Like, you look so healthy. And I'm like, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm so unhealthy. So, like, for me, like, my self-image and my self-worth, like, I was like, I need to really sit and pause and reflect. That, like, I'm unhealthy, and a lot of it's not my fault. Mm-hmm. Some of it was. And I can love my body for what it's doing today. And it was a lot of, like, today I know I'm feeling really weak, but I know, like, I'm functioning the best that I can today. I drank my protein shake today, go me.
Yeah.
And I can appreciate my body surviving. And now, as, like, I'm finally, like, at the weight that I want to be and, like, a healthy weight for Tia, I can recognize, like, okay, now it's like revisiting some of, like, the self-image things of, like, my body's very bloated more often than not. Mm-hmm. That's just, like, how my body is in, like, in our standards of and culture.
Life changes when you're over the age of 22.
Right. Like, I'm in my childbearing years, not bearing or holding.
The hips are ready.
They don't lie either. But, like, I've been able to, like, just really sit with, like, I can just love my body for what it is. And that's definitely not easy. Like, I'm saying it and it sounds like, oh yeah, just do it and you're fine. Like, no.
Yeah.
Like, it's
a constant battle.
It is a constant battle. And, like, there's definitely days that I am better at it and other days that I'm not. And, like, my go-to is always wearing a little bit baggier of clothing so no one could make a comment. And, like, as I lost weight, it was super baggy and I couldn't even wear it. Like, some of my jeans I still can't wear because I can't fit in them anymore. They're too loose. Mm-hmm. And they don't stay up. So it's like, I would try to hide it because that was easier than having to, like, tell people, no, I'm really unhealthy, actually. Like, what you're saying is not helpful to me. And I did do that with some people. I'm like, please don't comment on that. Like, yeah. I am beautiful. I was beautiful 2-3 years ago when I did have more weight on my body. I can appreciate that body because I was healthy. Mm-hmm. Did I eat maybe too much sweets? Always.
Yeah. Do That's I not still? New. Yes.
Yes. And, like, I loved that version of Tia just as much as I love this version of Tia. Mm-hmm. And That's I don't know funny. How I got there. I think with this, like, flare-up, it has been me just being so intentional. But, like, back in college, Tia, no.
But you've also been so prioritized of, like, health. Like, yeah. You need to be healthy. Not, mm-hmm. like,
other
not
people's
healthy.
Standards. Yeah. Yeah. Like,
you are trying to mm-hmm. allow your body to operate properly and survive. And it's mm-hmm. not like, I'm going to diet and I'm going to do this. It's like, I literally can't eat these foods. Mm-hmm. And so I need to figure out what I can
how
eat.
How can I adapt?
And, like, how to adapt to this. And it's mm-hmm. like, yeah, it's like sometimes the opposite of what most right. people deal with. That's, you know.
And I think it's one of those things that, like, there's so many people who either have, like, gastrointestinal problems or, like, autoimmune disorders and, like, mm-hmm. all of these things, predominantly women. Mm-hmm. I can't give percentages. I haven't done the research. But, like, from who I talk to, more women have these issues. And there's not a lot of research done on all of these disorders on women. Mm-hmm. Whole nother debate that I can be very passionate about. But it is, like, finding what works for you. And I think it always goes back to, like, we were given this body for a reason. And, like, I always joke, like, my body's a temple and it's still under construction. The pyramids of Giza weren't built in one day.
So is I-90. It is okay.
We love a good growth. But I think it is one of those things where it's, like, if you can be mindful and accept that you're, like, accept where you're at and acknowledge, like, yep, this sucks and this is hard and my body hurts and, or I don't like what I'm seeing in the mirror right mm-hmm. now. Like,
yeah.
Fair.
Yeah.
Valid. And that all comes from, how do you want to change that? Do you want to feel stuck in this view? Or can you start talking to yourself more neutrally? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's, like, one thing. Like, if you don't want, if you are in one extreme, you can't just jump to the other extreme. So, like, oh, yeah. If you're extremely negative.
Because you're going to be faking it.
Right.
And it's not going to help.
And I know they say fake it till you make it, but, like, with
that's one thing
self-talk,
you shouldn't fake.
You can't fake. But, like, it's building that tolerance, right? Like, it's building, like, if I don't like how I look and being like, thank you, feet, for walking me up the stairs today. Thank mm-hmm. you, eyeballs, for making sure I don't run into the tables today, because I constantly run into things. So, like, it's, like, finding those, like, neutral things where it's, like, I can be proud of these things and be thankful for these things, and it can grow into, I like this about myself.
Yeah.
And I think we're all going to have an insecurity. That's, as humans, too, we're so quick to judge and, like, compare and, like, do these things. Our brain's hardwired to do that. Hardwired. Because it helps us make quick decisions if we are in, like, a survival mode. Mm-hmm. But when we are in, like, a safety mode, it's like, okay, I don't have to
I'm
think
fine.
That way.
Yeah.
I'm cool. I'm grounded. Let's figure it out.
Yeah.
It's a journey.
Yeah. I would say my, like, self-esteem, self-worth, and this is, oh, like, if anybody else has ever experienced this, I feel your pain. I've been there and I joke mm-hmm. about it now, but I was, I think, in 8th grade. And I went to the doctor
Oh,
and they had that beautiful little BMI chart on the back of the door that told me, a athlete of multiple different things at the time, that I was obese.
I freaking hate BMI.
At a time when I was literally still developing.
Mm-hmm.
And
the
from
messaging that
every
that gives you.
Checkup and every, mm-hmm. like, every time I had to go to the doctor, I just have to, like, kind of laugh it off and, like, be like, oh, well, they don't know how much muscle I have. They don't know how much I can bench press. And, like, right. I was very proud of myself as, like, a high school athlete being, yes. like, proud of how strong I was. Mm-hmm. Like, my friend Natalie can attest to it. Like,
yeah.
her and I would, we literally had our bench press number, they wrote it on the football chart because
Let's
we
go.
Were outdoing some of the boys, and we were proud about it. And
as
it
you
like,
should be.
That was a good thing to be proud about, yes. especially at that time, because
oh
I think
gosh, yes.
if I didn't have that, and like to be honest, if I didn't have a friend like her at the time who I could like relate to of mm-hmm. like being like a very powerful body.
She was a swimmer too, right?
She was a swimmer mm-hmm. and gymnast or cheerleading and
yeah.
tumbling and all that, but like powerhouse of a girl.
Yes.
And like, I related to that, and I had that, and it was, like, a confidant of, like, okay, mm-hmm. like...
I'm not alone.
She's got it, I have it, we're strong together, like, this
let's
is
kick
cool.
some ass.
Like, let's kick
we
some
ride
butt.
At dawn! Yeah.
So I think, like, having that was amazing. Crucial for me, because mm-hmm. I was, like, even in a friend, it was representation of, like, yes. that's okay to be built like that, or to, like, be proud that you can do stuff like this.
Yes.
And I was performing well, and I was like, nothing's wrong with, like, I'm no. eating, like, if anything, again, it's like, most high school, college athletes, it's like, I wasn't eating enough, because I couldn't keep up with how much I was doing.
Right.
And
we weren't given that education of, this is right. what you need to eat.
And probably not eating, I mean, my parents cooked well, but I wasn't making the healthiest choices when it came to, like, snacks at school, or stuff like right. that, but it was like, again, just fueling myself anytime I could.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, like, college then was the first time that was bad, and it was, like, a comparison. Again, I had representation around me.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was, like, as much. I didn't experience it as much as I did. And I also wasn't, like, performing as well as I wanted to. Whatever. It's, like, where I wanted to be. I wasn't where I wanted to be. And then there were... dealing with, you know, growing up, maturing, like, my hips are coming in, all this. So that's where, like, the self-image stuff yes. started taking a hit. And then being, like, hyper-focused on, you know, what I was doing. And that's when mm-hmm. I started getting into triathlon, too. Like, that was yeah. in high school. But then it was, like,
more
I was entering
too.
This new sport. And I was, like, a swimmer trying to learn how to run.
And bike.
And I was looking at all these other people, and I was like, I don't look like any of these runners. Mm-hmm. And how are they lifting their feet off the ground like that? So I was like, I was entering a new sport that then I didn't look like any of the people in mm-hmm. that sport. So in my head, it was like, well, I have to lose weight to be able to fit in here.
Yeah.
And I did. And then at one point in college, I got down to, again, same frame. I always have been. Like, under 150. 145 was yeah. my lowest. And, like, it was visible. And mm-hmm. I was...
I remember
not
that.
Healthy. Mm-hmm. And, like, I still have posts on Instagram when I was like that. And yeah. I honestly should go back and delete them, because not that anybody's scrolling that far down on
now they're
page,
going to.
But I'm, like, literally, there's specifically one picture that was posted that I, like, my caption was literally, my mom told me watermelon isn't a lunch.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And I vividly, literally ate watermelon for lunch that day and called it a meal. And, like, that was just, like, where my head was at that point. And it was, like, as long as I can still run 8 miles...
I'm doing enough.
At an 8-minute pace or faster, mm-hmm. I'm fine. Like, yeah. even though I'm only eating... Again, if I go back in my MyFitnessPal app, oof, there's some stuff
That's a
there.
Journal.
Yeah, like, 1,400 calories and then also running 8 miles that day, not okay.
Right.
And so it's, like, getting caught up in that whole thing, and that's, like, mm-hmm. never... I've never professionally addressed that, but I've recognized it throughout my whole life, and something I still struggle with to this day, and more so of a...
Well, you talk to your nutritionist about it, so
yeah.
I'm still thinking.
And I work with a nutritionist, and it's more of, like, now I have a fear of ever getting back to that point, which
yes.
is a good fear to have. But again, like how we talked this morning, is like
yeah. it can be debilitating.
Balancing, trying to be at a performance, and so again, mm-hmm. at the age of 26,
yeah,
I went and got all kinds of testing done and everything, VO2 max and everything. And of course, it's like, I understand that me, in like my build and everything that I look like, isn't an ideal build for somebody in what I'm doing. But that doesn't mean that I can't be in it. I can still be a runner and be quote unquote 20 pounds overweight and still perform well. And I just proved it to myself this past weekend, or 2 weekends ago. Like,
when you PR'd.
PR, literally.
Hugely.
15 pounds more than what I weighed my last PR and dropped a minute per mile. So it was literally, like in a half marathon. So I'm like, that was like huge. But it's like balancing that act of like performance, but also, you know, wanting to perform at a high level, wanting to be at that like body fat percentage or all of that statistic and all that data, but also knowing like what's my healthiest option here? Because if I'm having to go back to the 145, that's not healthy. If that's the only way that I'm going to be, you know, whatever in this sport, I would rather work with what I have. I think that's like the recognition again, something that's like, sounds great that I'm talking about this all now, but there are days that I literally will cry for half the day because I don't like what I look like in the mirror, or someone took a picture of me on the bike and my legs look too big. And it's like, we all deal with that shit. Like, I do, the next person does, somebody that weighs 50 pounds less than me does. Like, it's a natural part of life, and unfortunately, like,
it's hard.
My biggest thing, and I think in my head sometimes I tell myself, I was so happy that I had, like, what did I say, representation?
Yes.
That I feel sometimes like representation for anybody looking up to me now, or athletes that I coach, that like, hey, it's okay to be built differently, and that you, if you're also coming from a swim background and you got broad shoulders and you don't know how to run, there's some hope for you, because I'm not that bad.
You literally today, when you were looking at like triathlon stuff, you were so excited what was her name?
Kat Matthews.
When she won, you're like, she looks like me. And I was like, that is like what our world needs more of. And like, we're also like our own worst enemy too. Like, so many people like look at us and like not think twice. I mean, there's obviously going to be those people that like are unfiltered and just say what they think, and just we like have to respectfully be like,
most of the time they're like our grandparents' age.
Yes. And we're just like, love you so much, please don't do that.
Like, oh honey, you've put on a little weight.
Yeah, more cushion for the pushing, grandma.
Thank you, Aunt Susan. Yes.
And it's just one of those things where it's like, again, it's this constant battle. And I think mental health is a daily thing. Because it's like a temperature check, right?
And
like
a roller coaster.
And yeah, it is. It's like, how do I check in? And like, when I think about like the physical health too, like we have like physical body temperature. Like our emotions are kind of like that, where we have to we don't have to constantly right now check our body temperature. But like, it's good to check in with where we're at all the time with our body image, where we are at with our confidence levels that day, where we're at with
self-worth
and we're gonna have off days, and like, that's why I brought 3 options today to wear to our friend's bridal shower, because I was like, I don't know what I'm gonna feel the most confident in today.
That's huge too.
That was the main reason that I brought multiple things, because I was like, I don't know how I'm gonna feel, and if I pick something 3 days ago when I was packing, because I always pack super early, and I come up to the day and I'm like, ugh, I really hate how I look today.
And if you have to force dampen it, the day, it's going to ruin the rest of your week too.
Right. So, and it can. And I think hard. And I think it's finding what works best for you. So for me, packing multiple options. Beautiful, one less thing to worry about. Or it's telling myself, like, no one cares.
Yeah, truly. I think that's the biggest thing.
And we always think someone is.
I saw this one thing that was like people interviewing people on the street, and it was like, I'm going to guess your biggest insecurity, basically. Ooh. And it's like, nobody can really guess that for the most part.
By looking at you.
People are so self-conscious about like the most random parts of their body or random things and stuff. Yeah. And like other people don't even bat an eye.
Right.
Like they're like, oh, wait, what? Literally. Oh, your one eyebrow's crooked? Like
I never would have known.
Okay.
Literally, cool. So many times where, who was I talking? I can't even remember the situation, but someone's like, oh yeah, like this happened to me. And I'm like, I never would have guessed. Actually, I had a parent one time ask me about my scar.
Oh, yeah.
On my lip. For those that don't know me, I have a scar on my lip. And what happened was when I was 2 years old, I ran into the back of my grandpa's tailgate of his truck and split my lip in half and, like, glued it back together. And this parent asked, like, oh, like, did you have a cleft palate? And I was like, I've actually never been asked that before. And I was like, that's such a good question. Actually, no. And I explained. And he was like, well, I had one. And he has, like, a mustache and, like, everything. And he's like, but you can't see, like, my scars. But, like, a lot of people have a scar like you. Mm-hmm. And I was just, like, curious. And I was like, Huh.
Interesting.
Yeah, that was, I was just like eye-opening. Like, I was like, because I forget I have my scar.
Yeah.
Because I've literally had it my whole life. And when I had my ankle surgery in high school, like, they always, whenever you have a surgery, they always offer you, like, the creams to, like, make it go away and, or at least make it lighter. And he was like, oh, like, do you want me to get you extra for your face one? And I was like, no. And he's like, okay, like, your choice. And I was like, I've literally had this my whole life. Like, I cannot imagine my face without my scar. I wouldn't recognize myself.
Yeah.
And also, like, all my scars are my battle scars, man. Yeah. Like, I keep all of them. These. Right? I was like, these are expensive works of art. Shout out to Sean and Becky for paying for most of them, because a lot of them happened when I was under their insurance. So shout out to you guys for helping this temple be constructed. But I was like, no, I just, they're such an identifier to me now.
Yeah.
Where, like, some people, like, do not want them. But, yeah, it's one of those things where it's, like, I keep saying that. It's one of those things.
It's one of those.
And it's just one of those things.
It's just one of those things.
It's just one of those things. But so, it really is. But finding those things that you are really proud of in yourself. Yeah. And, like, okay, for sure. I think about the one time you photoshopped my teeth into your teeth. Oh, my God.
That was funny.
That was so
funny.
That
was just for fun.
It was for fun.
For shits and gigs. But so many people were like, oh, my God, that doesn't look like you.
Right.
And I was like, really? Because I closed the gap in my mouth. They're like, I wouldn't recognize. I'm like, okay, be so for real.
It's like those, like, movies where they go like, ting. Yeah. But, yeah, self-worth is hard. Daily battle.
Daily struggle. Nobody's got to figure it out. But it does get easier once you get out of a point of, like, high school and college where you're so caught up thinking everybody cares.
Yes.
You get into the adult world and you think, actually, nobody here actually gives a shit what you're doing. No, everyone's
just doing their own thing, which is, like, fair and fine, and I like that. And I think social media does make that harder for kids.
For
sure.
Especially
kids in comparisons, because you're constantly seeing shit all the time.
Yeah, so that kind of leads into what role do you think societal expectation and pressures play in shaping our mental health experiences?
A lot.
Was I talking to you the other day? I think I was on the phone. And I was saying, I was listening to one of our college playlists and I was like,
yes,
jamming. And I was just having, well, it was like good spring day. And I was like, man, the nostalgia. And then I got to thinking and I was like, man, the music we used to listen to was very happy and upbeat, and now I feel like everything is sad and depressing. And then I was like, is it me? Am I the problem?
It's me. Hi.
Like, and then I was like, honestly, I like went to like the top hits on Spotify and I'm like, all of these songs are depressing.
Yes.
Like, there's probably three that I will roll my window down and blare out and have a, like, especially what's that new one, the Tipsy, the country Tipsy song.
What?
You haven't heard it?
But no.
Oh my God. Okay, we're gonna play it after. It's like,
oh, okay. Was it that those two guys that, like,
intermission, because Tia remixes? Hasn't heard Tipsy. But like,
Mocktails Up?
I was listening to that the other day and I was like, this is a jam. I love it. And I love me a good Taylor Swift, but like, her stuff is also sad.
Yes.
For the most part.
Apparently.
But like, I just got me thinking, I'm like, that's really sad. Like, I don't know. I just, what are the happy songs that people are listening to right now?
Because
like,
I'm just
we
really
were just jamming. And it was like, there was like points when I was like, oh, you just turn on the radio, you feel good, it boosts your mood. And now I'm like, if I put on like the top hits on Spotify, I'm like gonna start crying.
Right. It's a sad situation. But I even think, like, is that why I love remixes so much of our nostalgia music?
Yeah. Maybe this is just us showing our age. Now we just, like, sound like our parents. Okay, we are next. Old now.
But, like, for real, though, like, I love what we listened to in college.
Yeah.
And even, like, high school. I honestly don't seek out new music.
No.
I never do, unless, like, someone sent, so not like you, just show me a new song. Yeah. I'm going to listen to it now. But, like, I listen to all of, like, my old school stuff or, like, things that, like, I listened to growing up. Because my parents have good music taste.
Mm-hmm.
And we would listen to Tipsy growing up.
Yeah.
And, like, songs like that. Like, R&B. I can get behind that. Like, let's go.
Good.
Shake your tail feather.
But good. It was good, you know? Music. And I think, like, I just had that thought the other day. And I, like, kind of revolved it into, like, okay, so we have, like, this generation of people that are sad. And now all of the music is sad.
Probably because we're just, all,
like,
sad.
You turn on the news and everything is devastating. And it's like, what? We need some positivity here. But I think, like, that isn't necessarily societal expectation and pressure. But going with the whole, like, social culture. Media and the culture of, like, thankfully, I'm happy to see, like, getting away from, like, picture-perfect kind of vibes of social media. And, like, these kids now, like, post, Instagram like, the blurriest. Yeah. They do their little photo dumps, and it's just cute, like, what we kind of used to do on our... When Facebook? We used to plug in our phones and drop the whole album on our Facebook. Ugh.
I look back at those sometimes. Yeah. And I'm just like, man, we've come.
Like, that's just, I don't know, that's just an easy, absolutely. There's always going to be social pressures that take on, you know, take a blow to your mental health. And always. I think, like, especially, again, going back to what we talked about of, like, graduating and just being in a point of your life where you're like...
Pivot.
All right, what am I supposed to do? Because...
I still don't know.
I don't know what these other people are doing. Like, all my friends are in different stages, or, you know.
We still all are.
We still all are, and that gets a very low point when you're, like, then doubting yourself and...
When you feel behind.
Feel behind in life, and that's a whole other...
Can of worms.
Can of worms, but... Hopefully
gummy worms.
How can you be behind?
Right. We can't. Even though we feel that pressure.
Yeah. We don't even know when our expiration date is, so... Just keep living.
Expire.
LIVIN.
Oh, live. I was like, it's like liven?
Oh, this is a good one. So how do you manage the pressure to appear together or successful while also dealing with your own mental health challenges?
I don't think I pretend anymore.
Yeah.
I think that was what really helped.
Yeah, I stopped caring.
I stopped pretending, and if I have a bad day, I say it, you know? Like, I own that. But I think, like, from a professional standpoint, like, I can't.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I guess, like, that would be the only time I'd, like, fake it till I make it. And I think that's where compartmentalizing really comes into play, because I can put my stuff at the door, keep it in my car, and then work, do my thing, and then come back to my shit. So I think that could be part of it. What was the question again?
Like, the pressure to appear together and successful while also dealing with your stuff.
I think everyone's definition, too, of successful is different. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because, like, some people's success is making all the dollar billions and, like, rich, lavish...
And we are not making all the dollar bills.
We are not making the dollar billions. And that's okay. And, like, for me, like, success is, am I happy? Am I comfortable financially? And do I get to see the people I love? Mm-hmm. Like, to me, that's successful. Whereas other people don't feel that way, too. So I think as I've gotten older, like, societal success, I think, felt like married kid's job.
Yeah.
Whereas now I'm like, I appreciate that I'm not rushing into that in my life. And if you would have asked me that 10 years ago, I would not have said the same thing. Mm-hmm. I wanted to have kids early. I wanted to, like, have that established early because, like, I wanted similar to what my parents had. Mm-hmm. And, like, for my kids to have a really long relationship with their grandparents, which they still will. My parents are still young when that does happen. It's not happening soon, people. So that was not me saying anything.
Don't worry, Becky.
Don't worry. You would know before the podcast would know. But I think it's finding what you want and what you feel is best and not allowing others to influence that or pressure that.
Yeah. And I think, like, managing the pressure piece there, and, like, I'm very conscious about this because I do feel like from the outside looking in, sometimes my life looks a lot different than, like, what the reality is.
Yeah.
And sometimes I wish I could just be like, hey, it's not as great as it seems, smiling through it. But at, like, I'm very grateful for so many opportunities. I'm very grateful for things that I'm able to do. Yeah. I'm grateful for flexibility in my job. And that, like, I'm very aware of that because I, especially, like, working in social media and seeing, like, the impact of social media and everything like that, it's, like, I try and be consciously aware of, like, what I am posting sometimes because it's a highlight reel.
Yeah.
Like, and I try and be conscious of that, but I also don't want it to be a diary of, like, my highs and lows either, because it's, like, you obviously don't want to air your dirty laundry out or be a... Oh, all she ever does is complain, even though, like, this, that, or the other thing. But it's
more,
like,
pressure.
Yeah, it's like, I want to post a picture of us in Texas because we just were there and visiting and it was sunny and whatever. And recognizing the fact that, like, some people are like, oh my God, like, all she does is travel. Mm-hmm. She's, like, in the middle of a Tuesday riding her bike, like, doing all this. Yeah. And that's, like, that's only because that's what I've chosen to put out there, I guess.
It's only
and
so half that's the story. Half or the story. Not even half.
Yeah. That's where it's like, sometimes it is like, I want to be like, oh, the just spent 12 hours sitting at my desk because I just rode my bike for 4 hours yesterday. But there's like certain things you don't put out there. Or there's like, I wouldn't want to do that because I wouldn't want it to come off that I was complaining. And so it's like, you're being, that's where I'm like, I'm thinking of like the pressure to appear together or successful. And that's like, even when holidays come around and people are like, oh, like, you've done so much and you do all of this. And I'm like, no, I'm just running around and getting sick in between all of it because I'm not taking care of myself.
I'm like a chicken with a head cut off running around.
I come home and sleep most of the time for like 14 hours the day after because
You exert your body.
I'm tired.
This is a little off topic, but on topic at the same time. But a random thought I had as you were like talking about like the highs and lows is, I really wonder how much in gallons I've cried.
Because that should be a stat on the Apple Watch.
Right. Like, how we obviously can't track it because it is what it is. But, like, I'm genuinely curious.
Yeah, raise of hands. How many of you cry plus or minus 4 times a week?
Beep. But I think it is, it's, I don't know where I was going with that. But it was just a random intrusive thought I had.
Have you ever experienced burnout? And if so, how did you recognize it and take steps to address it?
Yes.
Yes.
The end. Yeah, period. When all my health was shit.
Yeah.
Like, I was really burning out at my job and with people and just everything, which is not like me to say. Mm-hmm. Because I'm such a people person. So, like, that was my first sign of, like, me isolating.
Tia turning down an invite to a social gathering? Red flag.
Huge red flag. That's, like, the biggest... That's like a flag as big as the world, just waving around, like that Instagram guy. But yeah, that is when I noticed I was burning out, was the fact that I was isolating from things that I really enjoy. Mm-hmm. And for me, which I know...
Saying like, no noticed, to the things that once brought you...
Joy.
Lots of joy.
Yeah. Because I just didn't have the energy. Mm-hmm. And like steps that I did were obviously figuring out my health. Mm-hmm. Constantly talking to my supervisor of like how I was feeling and what I needed to slow down and how they could support me in slowing down so I could like have the energy to like be effective in what I had and not give more than I could. Because I was giving. And when you don't eat and you don't have the ability to take care of yourself, you can't do as much. So, like,
and you were missing, like, in my eyes too, like a very important piece of like just moving your body. You weren't able to do that either. No. And so you were like, you weren't able to eat, you weren't able to move other than getting up and like making it through your day physically.
Yeah.
And so you were missing like these crucial aspects and you're like your entire ecosystem inside your body was a mess.
My chakras were all upside down and turned around. You were
the definition of trying to survive.
I was just surviving. I really was. And like, that's when I knew I was burning out because I was trying to perform how I always perform, right? Like, I always go above and beyond. I always go over what the expectation truly is because that's just who I am. We're working on slowing down. We're working on that part. That's always going to be a work in progress for me. But it really took me calling into work and, like, recognizing, like, I can't work today because I threw up. And, like, that's okay to not work today. Yeah. It's, like, really, like, sitting with that and being, like, what am I doing to my body? And, like, I cannot sustain the rest of my life this way. Mm-hmm. I won't be able to work. I won't be able to enjoy anything. So it was a lot of, like, talking to my mom and talking to, like, Brady and, like, talking to you when I had the energy. And kind of, like, finding that, like, different type of, like, fight and work through of, like, acknowledging, like, my body is shit right now. And, like, if I want to travel again, if I want to have fun at my friends' weddings, if I want to...
Get through a day
and not feel like fucking shit, I need to go to the doctor more. I need to, like, try to put food into my system, even though everything in my being was telling me not to. Mm-hmm. Like, physical body things, brain, like, it wasn't a go. So, like, I would only have smoothies for the longest time. And, like, that was the first step in me getting out of my burnout, was just like, what are my bare minimum needs right now that I'm not meeting and how can I meet them?
Yeah, that's important.
And like, now, like, I think back to that, I'm like, I don't know how I still worked so much back then. Like,
and this was all during COVID, right?
Part of it, well, so I had a little bit of a flare-up in grad school.
Yeah.
But that one was like a quick fix. But my most recent flare-up was post-COVID.
Well, but it was like...
I think it was like...
After... Like,
2024. I think it was in 2022.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which was the year that I would say the exact same.
Yeah, and 2023 was when it was really bad.
Yeah.
And, like, I think, honestly, like, January of this year was when I was like, I'm finally feeling better. And it took a lot of me advocating and finding doctors that actually heard me, which I'm kind of mad at my GI doctor. She's leaving me. She's going to a new job, which is fine, but I'm going to a different one. But I'm at a level where I'm like, okay, I can advocate. I know what I need. She wrote very diligent notes for my next provider to, like, know where we're going. And I think it was just, like, me listening to my body. Or trying to, because it was telling me mixed... And it was telling me mixed signals, like, hardcore. So it was, like, this balance of listening when I needed rest, but also, like, pushing my body to accept that I need to eat. And accept that, like, even though my stomach's going to be upset, I need something. Something even as... Like, the protein shakes were, like, a good go-to because my body could break it down. And it didn't hurt. Because a lot of things hurt. But it's just been an interesting journey. And I was burnt out. I always joke that I was toasty. I was just toasted.
Just toasted.
I wasn't burnt. I was toasty.
Just a lit piece of toast on fire.
Even though I was black. I was a black piece of toast. And I can recognize that now. But, like, I always would say at work, I'm toasty today. That's when I was truly burnt out. I was toasted. But black toast.
I think it's weird. Because the same year was literally when I was completely feeling that too. And I feel like I've had a few, but in, like, different ways. I guess, because I would say, I think end of high school, I was pretty burnt out with... School and...
Grad school.
Not having, like, a great group of friends. Like, I had a good group of friends, but it's like I didn't have... I didn't feel like anybody liked me and, like, stuff like that. And it was like, I was ready to just move on, but then my... biggest, like, burnout was definitely, like, when I decided to leave my job and, like, deal with all this and then deal with the repercussions of that and start my business and grind through that and try and figure that out. And I'm still, 2 years later, literally still trying to figure it out. And, like, but the burnout piece was, like, same thing. It was, like, I mean, not same thing. I wasn't dealing with health issues, but not taking care of myself. And that was, again, like, coming off of, like, COVID, but, like, not going into the office. And so I was, like, there were days that I literally didn't leave my apartment. So, like, the mental health was taking a turn. And because I wasn't leaving, I wasn't, like, getting sunlight. And, like, then I would start choosing, like, oh, it's a beautiful day. I should go outside and run. But it's just easier if I do it on the treadmill because I don't have to go anywhere. And then I was like, that's when I started recognizing, like, this is not healthy. The fact that I'm not leaving a 5 mile radius is, like, not okay. And, like, not me. So I think, like, that's when the recognition was. And then I started piecing together the, I'm doing too much. I need to take stuff off my plate. And first, I decided taking off my plate was my job.
But it was
and still is a journey of bringing things into my life that make me feel whole and happy again. And I know that sometimes sounds very fairy tale of me and irresponsible. And I recognize that.
Fairy tale, though.
I'm allowed to do that. And I make the joke that I'm not responsible for anybody but myself.
Which is true.
And I also recognize that I'm very much of a live in the moment and tomorrow's not promised. So, like, if I want to do something now, I'm going to do it because I'm not going to look back and be like,
fuck it.
Wow, I wasted, like, all of those years putting, shoveling money into my savings account just to now not have anything to say about. Like, now I look back and I scroll through my phone camera roll and I'm like, oh my God, I've been to so many different states.
You have
in the past 3 years. Like,
you should
how
get
cool.
like a map thing and like.
We actually have one.
Do
we
you?
Just haven't put it up yet. But
it'd be cool to
like
see.
That kind of stuff. And it's like finding a way to bring
more. Yeah, you don't
more...
have a passport.
I don't have a passport, but I'm just keeping myself in the country because y'all aren't prepared for when I leave. But I think that's like. The biggest, like, burnout thing is, like, finding, I guess my advice to it is, like, finding the things that bring you the most joy and finding a way to bring that back into your life.
Yes.
And if that means having to set really hard boundaries with
anyone,
friends, family, strangers, people, your coworkers, if that means having to leave, I'm not calling my job toxic, but for me and at the time and for my growth into my career, it was...
It's not what you needed.
It was... not enabling. It was holding me back.
Yeah.
from where I knew I wanted to be. And then I think, like, on top of that, it was, like, I was experiencing kind of this new type of, like, confidence and, like, self-worth that was, like, really good. And I was like, oh, I'm feeling this. So I'm just going to, like, do this now before I start
before
regretting it.
Before I'm too scared.
Because I know what's on the other side of this is the self-doubt. And
it is those leaps of faith.
Yeah.
Of, like, what changes what I should do. And, like, sometimes if we overthink it, we're not going to do
it. It's going to be too late.
Yeah.
So.
You cannonballed.
Cannonballed. And I am still.
You're balling.
I'm still balling. Still falling.
But at least it's like water, you know, yeah. Like a cannonball.
But it's fun. It's all fun. It is. Like, again, it's like, we're all still figuring it out. None of us have it. Like, I don't have an answer. Like, and that's where I feel.
I think it's.
Like, again, with, like, the pressures is, like, sometimes I don't want people to look up to me. And, like, that sounds weird. But it's, like, I don't want somebody to be, like, oh, my God, you're, like, so successful. You have your own business. You have all your shit figured out. You're doing this, that, and the other thing. And it's, like, I am literally making it up as I go. I am piecing it together day by day.
I literally don't have my shit figured out. Yeah. But I think that is one of those things where it's, like,
ebbs and flows.
We can have some shit figured out.
Yes.
But not all the shit figured out. You know? And I think because life is so constantly changing and evolving and shifting and moving, and we're constantly evolving, shifting, shaping, and moving, it makes sense that we don't ever have it figured out.
Mm-hmm.
So I think even like when hopefully we live a long life and death's knocking on the door and we can be like, I have my shit figured out.
Yeah, I got it.
I kind of have a feeling I won't have that feeling. No. But I'll be like, I'm wait, proud of where I went.
I gotta do one more thing.
Yeah. Let me call my friends.
Let me call my BFF.
But I think it is like, going back, can I be proud of how I evolved and shaped and changed? And I think if you can feel proud of what you've done, what you've gone through, and how you handled it, that's success.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of circling back to, I don't even know when that question was. But if we can do that, that's powerful.
Yeah.
And like, we're all gonna burn out at some point.
Mm-hmm.
That's natural. Yeah. Because inevitable. Our culture is you work. And finding your balance with that, like, you can find your grind, you can find your slow down, you can find those things. And like, I think we're having a hard time giving that advice because it is so unique
right
to every person. Because like, what works for you doesn't work for me, and vice versa.
Yeah. And I think the biggest, and like, so much mental health piece in here too, of like the pressure of the grind and like all of that, and like, where do you make the space to be a professional and to keep doing that because that's the expectation, and where do you allow yourself to have the moments of nothingness or the moments of like recharging and like in that. And like, I, you know, I just, that's, again, I don't have the answer. I don't know what to tell you. It's just, that's a societal thing that I did see, like, some businesses now do offer, like, mental health days, and I think that's great, because it's, like, you're not your best when you're not, like, you can't show up as your best self if you're not your best self, and you're not going to do your best work when you're having a shit day, and so it's, like, you're wasting time, money, energy, all this stuff if you're not doing your best, so...
So do your best.
So do your best.
And every day is a different do your best.
Exactly.
So your best today.
Some days are 80s.
Yeah, and some days are 20s. Yeah.
And that's okay.
As long as you're trying.
So, okay. How do you strike a balance between self-care and pushing yourself out of your comfort zone? We did a whole episode on comfort zones. What do we talk about?
What was that? I think that one's tricky.
That kind of rolls... like with this conversation of like the burnout too, because it's like,
it's checking where you're at.
We were both doing things that were pushing us out. You mean advocating for yourself?
Yeah.
That's trying to, you know, make a leap that I wasn't 100% confident with. But that was the most important thing that we could have been doing for ourselves
in that moment.
And I think like in other ways, and we've talked about this before, of like with athletics, it's like, at what point is it self-destruction or like pushing my limits?
Yeah.
I don't really know.
It's hard to know.
But
I think it's because it's such a gray area.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's not like a one set answer for it too that makes it so hard. And I think for each person, it's reflecting like, how do you want to grow as a person? You know what I mean? Because like, there's not really a set, like, Tia and Maggie, you guys have to be the most successful podcast out there.
Mm-hmm.
Be cool.
We are, but
no. I mean, it'd be really, really cool, you know? help us, you know. But there's, our growth can look so different in that, you know, not just like podcast wise, but like just like in life in general. Like I can decide what Tia growing is, and like right now Tia growing is having good boundaries, and like younger Tia can be so proud of current Tia because she's working so hard at that, you know.
That's cute. It's
really I've never said that out loud. My therapist would be proud. Pencil that one in and tell her when I see her. We can be proud of where we've come.
For sure.
And I hope everyone who listens can find a time where, like, they're feeling proud of, like, what their younger self, like, looking at you now.
Mm-hmm. Looking back, is there anything you wish you had known or done differently in terms of prioritizing your mental health? I guess going back to college, really.
I was going to go even further back. I was going back to, like, fresh out the womb. No, I'm kidding. But I think going back to our, like, part one, I wish that we would have gotten skills and, like, actually taught stuff verbatim, like, in your face. Like, these are things that you need to learn. Like, again, emotional regulation, distress tolerance, how to communicate. I think that could have helped us navigate a lot of our hardships. Do I think the hardships still would have happened? 1,000%. Like, life wouldn't be life without hardships. And I would, for me, I wish I could have had more of the knowledge that I have grad school time, especially because that's when I learned and was really proud of the fact that I felt my emotions so fully.
Right.
I never used to be proud of that until I, like, learned about this stuff and was like, wow, go me for feeling, like, tenfold, so deep into my soul, every single emotion that I feel. Because not everyone gets to feel that or experience that, and that's a superpower. And, like, I wish younger Tia could have known that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the biggest thing of, like, thinking differently or knowing better is, like, allowing the proudness and allowing the feel-good emotions about yourself. Because I think there's so much of that taught, and I hate to bring religion into it, but it's, like, when...
It's okay.
You spend, like... I spent a good... major portion of my life, like, going to church and going to, like, religion classes and, like, doing for everybody else. And I think we've touched on this before of, like, it was, like, you do for everybody else and you do for those that are less fortunate and you give of your time. And it was, like, this was ingrained in me.
Oh, yeah.
Not only from, like, a like, family side, but, like, societal and community piece of, like, this is what you do, and, like, if you don't do this, you're not a good person. I'm not saying, like, my parents forced that on me, but it was, like...
It was a subtle message.
Important that I was giving back to my community, and I was doing for people less fortunate, but because of that, it did become of, well, I'm gonna take care... Okay, so in my head now, I need to make sure everybody else around me is okay before I am, because that... Whether that was what I was being taught or that was what I was taking out of it, it was, okay, so what I'm hearing is...
According to my calculations.
Yeah, even though I'm not doing okay, I need to make sure everybody else is. So, and I think that's where, like, and then the whole, like, being proud of yourself or being, like, confident, or, like, there's, like, a word for it and I can't think of it, but, like,
the fine line of, like, arrogance.
It's like, you don't do that, you're not better than anybody else. And so it's like that, if, like, again, if that's what my perceived notion of, like, you're not better than someone else, it's like, you're right, I'm not better than anyone. Like, and then it gets
just
in your head,
the mixed messages that we've all gotten of, like, you need to be proud, but not too proud. You need to be smart, but not too smart. You need to be
kind,
vocal, but not
you
too
can't
vocal.
Be a, like, pushover. And, like, that's just, again, all very good things to be taught. But, and, like, this, I don't want in any way to come out as, like, that my parents didn't teach me properly or, like, the people that were around in my life, in my developmental stage. It's like, that was just things that happen as a kid. And, like, the way you perceive stuff, it's like, the stupid funny shit. I used to think the no outlet sign meant that they didn't have power on that street. But it's like the fact that, okay, if my brain at, like, a ripe age of six thought...
You're taking things literal.
I'm taking things literal here. If somebody's telling me you don't think that you're better than other people, you're like, yeah, you're damn right. I am worthless.
Yeah.
You are so much better than me.
You're reminds me in Dodgeball when he's like, we're better than you, and we know it.
We know it. And so I think, like, that was huge, and, like, the piece in terms of prioritizing my mental health, so much of my own journey has been putting myself down because I felt less than or whatever in whatever way. If I would have had more of a positive, like, I am strong, or, like, I am worthy of more than this, or I am deserving of that, or, like, more of the positive messaging.
I can take care of myself first before I take care of others. I'm still learning that one, too.
And I can be proud of myself, and I can do something really great, and instead of being like, oh, it's fine, that was just expected. Like, oh, I won a race. Good, I was supposed to. Like, it wasn't like, man, I'm really, like, I worked really hard for that. Yeah. It was like, a few. Okay, that's what my coach needed me to do. Or that's what they wanted me to do. Or I had to do that. Or, you know, I had, like, that kind of mentality. Right. And so I think that's, like, weird that how do you teach both sides of that? I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's a very interesting thing that I think I've been able to kind of, like, in my own head figure out. I wish I had more of that, because now in my life I am like,
Man,
I did this and I did this. And I'm proud of myself, and I'm like vocalizing that again more so to myself, but like,
yes, as you should.
Vocalizing that outside of it, and like would have probably saved me from a lot of different situations.
Oh, God, yeah. Same.
Wild.
It's a roller coaster.
Roller coaster.
I do love a good roller coaster, though.
I hate roller coasters.
Do you really?
No.
I didn't know that about you.
Yeah, I don't like them.
You don't like Six Flags?
No. No.
Ugh. I don't know. I haven't been on a roller coaster in a long time, so I'm curious how my body would feel. No. I have a lot of extra room in my guts, so I don't know how I'd feel now.
I don't like roller coasters, but I will descend down a mountain on my bike at 40 miles per hour, and that will
That seems more terrifying than a roller coaster.
Amazing.
The wind in your hair. Yeah.
Looking over and seeing cliffs.
Safety.
Safety.
But you're wearing a helmet, so you're fine.
Yeah, I'm good.
Well, I think that's a good place.
I think that's the end of our episode.
Part 1, 2, 3, and 7.
Part 1, 2, 3, and 7.
Yep.
We should really just not start or end these. It should just be a conversation every Friday. We'll just pick up where we left off.
We should, because it's picking up a phone.
Oh, you're right. Okay, we're rethinking our whole podcast strategy.
Yeah, we're rebranding today now.
We're rebranding.
Colors will be different. Font will be different.
Well, not now.
My name will
now
be different.
Now I have more work to do.
Your name will be different.
Tia's going to start editing.
Yep.
We're going to flip the switch.
We are.
But I guess in terms of our whole topic of today, I hope you take time to take care of yourself.
Yeah, whatever that looks like for you.
And I guess, like, bringing in us in the conversation, like, and talking about this openly on podcasts, like, obviously we're just here to chit-chat, but, like, we also just hope that this is somewhat, I don't know, relatable if anybody's out there feeling alone or feeling any of the relatable pieces that we do, too. It's like, we are also human.
Yeah.
We also don't have things figured out. We might be ahead or behind in whatever timeline it is that
you've
our
created.
Listeners are.
Yeah.
But
our culture's created.
That's okay. And we're very similar people, me and you, but I think we also, we have our own timelines and our own stuff, and
we make it work.
Yeah.
I think it's find one, at least one good thing about your day.
Yeah.
Every day. Even if it was the shittiest fucking day, what was one thing that went okay? And trying to have that positive spin.
The sun came out this morning.
Yeah. But good luck, everyone.
See you next week.
Bye, homies.